What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the JT Sports Podcast. I'm your host, JT, and we got a lot of things to talk about on this episode because what the hell is going on in the football world today? Nick Saban just retired. The Seahawks just moved on from Pete Carroll as their head coach. Brian Daboll got cussed out by Wink Martindale. And Doug Peterson is firing every coach in Jacksonville, but the biggest problem on his staff still remains. We're going to dive into these things, but before we do, do me a favor. Hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, turn on post notifications so you don't miss when we upload new content. And remember that we're not just a YouTube channel. You can find every episode of the podcast available in audio format on all podcasting platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcast from. The JT Sports Podcast is available. Leave us with a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify. Share the pod with your friends, family members, and acquaintances if you enjoy. College football would not be the same anymore because Nick Saban just retired. After 17 seasons and 6 national championships at Alabama, Nick Saban is finally hanging it up. And I'm really surprised about this. And when I was texting with a couple of my friends about this news, they were saying, JT, why are you so surprised about this? The dude is 72 years old. You knew he had to retire eventually. And I get that. But this is one of those things that it's hard to see coming until it actually happens. And then when it actually happens, you have a hard time believing it because there's been so much speculation about when Nick Saban was going to retire. So to see him finally hanging it up has really caught me by surprise. And, you know, when you think of Nick Saban, you think of not just the greatest coach in college football history, but one of the greatest coaches in the history of sports. Like, it doesn't get any better than Nick Saban. If we had a Mount Rushmore of great coaches in sports history, Nick Saban definitely would have his name engraved in that thing, man. And I still am lost for words at this news, man. And now for Alabama, what's next? Because what makes this thing even more crazier is that their top candidate to replace Nick Saban is Dan Lanning at Oregon. And it's ironic because not too long ago, Dan Lanning said that he doesn't plan on going anywhere from Oregon. He plans on staying at Eugene and building that program up to eventually win a championship. But now we're going to see if he's going to hold true to his word, because there's a difference when you got other schools calling versus Alabama calling. Alabama still is in very great shape. Of course, you're going to have a big wave of decommitments due to Nick Saban retiring. But if you can get Dan Lanning, I'm pretty sure your recruiting class won't be too bad. And plus, the guys who committed to Oregon for Dan Lanning are probably going to just flip their commitments to Alabama to play for him. Or they could just transfer to go play for him. Whichever happens, Dan Lanning will be a fantastic hire for Alabama football. And if you can't get Dan Lanning, obviously you're going to give Dabo Sweeney a call or Lane Kiffin a call. Like, this is Alabama football. Who wouldn't want to coach this job? Alabama is going to end up with a great head coach any way you slice it. Hell, they probably could go after Mike Vrabel. There's plenty of Ohio State fans who want Mike Vrabel to replace Ryan Day up there. So I don't see why Alabama wouldn't try to get him a call if they can't get anybody else. But I definitely expect for one of the big name coaches in college football to end up taking this job. But let's get back to Nick Saban, bro, because I don't know about you, but I really can't believe this dude is finally retiring. I thought that Nick Saban was going to die in the coffin coaching Alabama football. I never thought this day would actually come when I would get news out of nowhere on my cell phone, breaking news, Nick Saban has retired. Like, what? This is crazy, man. And think about how this retirement impacts the rest of the SEC. Now, the door is finally open for LSU or Ole Miss to potentially get into the conference championship game now. What about Georgia? Are they now going to have a chokehold on this conference for the foreseeable future? I mean, it's only fitting that Nick Saban had to retire, giving Kirby Smart one more ass kicking on his way out the door. And now that he's retired, you know, I feel really sad that he didn't go out on top. Like, he really went out losing to Michigan, which I'm not trying to sound ignorant when I say that, but it's like, when you have a coach this great, he deserves a storybook ending. He deserves to go out riding into the sunset. Now, of course, him not winning the national championship this year, making it to the college football playoffs, and what many people, myself included, to be his best coaching job ever, is still a very fitting ending. But it's just, you would like to see a coach like Nick Saban go out into the sunset, hoisting up that national championship trophy. And it's just weird now that we're going to watch Alabama football next season without seeing Nick Saban on the sideline with his headset on, bro. It's crazy. Can y'all believe that Nick Saban has finally retired? Like, so many years on top of years, people have been making up speculation and rumors saying Nick Saban is going to retire after this season. And then the end of the season rolls around and you never hear any news about him retiring. Like, this came out of nowhere. I was not expecting for Nick Saban to retire this offseason. I wasn't. I thought that we were at least going to get 3 to 4 more years of seeing Nick Saban on the sideline for the Crimson Tide. But this is a really sad day, not just for Alabama fans, but for all of college football. Rather, if you're a fan of LSU or Auburn, or if you're a fan of Ohio State or Western Michigan, everybody has to be feeling some kind of way about Nick Saban finally hanging it up. Like, it's going to be so different in college football with Nick Saban not being around. You know, like, some people say that the NIL and the transfer portal were getting too much for him. I don't believe that. I believe that Nick Saban retired because he felt like it was now the right opportunity for him to. This program is in great shape. Before he got there, like, Alabama was a complete dumpster fire. Yeah, they had success in the past, but Nick Saban comes around after not working out with the Miami Dolphins, it makes this one of the greatest dynasties in sports history, not just in college football, but in the history of sports. When you think about Alabama football under Nick Saban, it's comparable to the Michael Jordan Chicago Bulls dynasty, the Golden State Warriors dynasty, the Spurs dynasty, the New England Patriots dynasty with Belichick and Brady. Like, Nick Saban's run at Bama, I don't think we're ever going to see it replicated. Maybe. Maybe Kirby Smart could have similar success at Georgia, but it's hard to win 6 national championships in today's age of college football. Nick Saban was a trailblazer. I love Nick Saban. All right, I'm not a Bama fan, but I've always been a huge fan of Nick Saban and what he stands for. You know, not quick to kick players off the team off of one mistake, giving players second opportunities to prove themselves, also helping players become better men, not just better football players, but better men off the field. Everything that you want in a head coach, Nick Saban had. And he was the embodiment of what it means to be a great leader. He wasn't just a great football coach. This dude was a great leader. And it's just so sad to finally have to accept the reality that he's no longer going to be coaching college football anymore. Like, college football in 2024 is going to be so different. We got all these teams in different conferences now due to conference realignment. We got the 12-team college football playoffs. The SEC is going to be on ESPN and ABC now, no longer on CBS. CBS is going to be broadcasting the Big Ten games now. Like, college football is going to be so different this upcoming season, man. And it's going to be so weird watching it. It's going to be so weird not seeing an Alabama game with Nick Saban roaming the sidelines anymore, bro. It's crazy. Like, Nick Saban has finally retired, y'all. Can y'all believe this? Like, Nick Saban has hung it up. I cannot believe Nick Saban has finally called it quits after a great career. Hell, I can't even call it a great career. Like, a great career is an understatement. Like, this dude had an incredible career. It doesn't get any better. Not just that he won 6 national titles at Bama, but he also won a national championship when he was coaching at LSU. This dude has been a winner everywhere he's been in college football. And I would at least love to see him take one more stab at the NFL. At least 1 or 2 years in the NFL of Nick Saban, and my whole entire life would be complete as a football fan. That's the only thing that I haven't been alive to witness, Nick Saban coaching in the NFL. And I really believe that if the Dolphins did what Nick Saban asked and got Drew Brees, he possibly could have won a Super Bowl. I mean, with the level of success that he's had everywhere he's been outside of Miami, you would think that if they would have did what he wanted and got Drew Brees, that he would have been able to lead them to a Super Bowl. I don't know, but Nick Saban is finally done coaching at Alabama. Let me know your thoughts down in the comment section below. What were your reactions when you first saw the news that Nick Saban was retiring? Because I have to go and look at multiple sources to confirm this, because you know how it is when you're on Twitter. It's a lot of fake news, a lot of misinformation, a lot of clickbait. But to finally have to come to grips with Nick Saban retiring, no longer coaching at Bama, is so crazy to me. So crazy. It's like, I really don't want to believe it. I'm really hoping that this thing is not true, it's not a joke, but unfortunately it is. Let me know your best Nick Saban moment in the comment section. I'm eager to hear. The Seattle Seahawks have moved on from Pete Carroll as their head coach. He's expected to take a front office role as an advisor. And I'm going to be honest with you. This move didn't surprise me as much as Nick Saban retiring did. Because when you look at how the last 3 seasons in Seattle have gone for Pete Carroll, it was only a matter of time before they gave this dude his walk-in papers. This past season, you start out 5-2, and then you finish the season 9-8, and you missed the playoffs. And the similar thing happened last year in 2022. The only difference is that you start out 6-3. You look like one of the best teams in the NFC. And then your season just completely goes off the rail, but you are able to backdoor your way into the postseason. And then in 2021, Russell Wilson's final year in Seattle, you go 7-10. Now that mainly was due to the fact that Russ got injured, but Pete Carroll hasn't had a great defense since the Legion of Boom. And ever since the Legion of Boom got disbanded or dismembered, Seattle hasn't been able to come close to putting at least a serviceable defense on the field. And it was obviously clear watching Seattle play this season that Pete Carroll lost a lot of his flavor. He was outdated. This defense that he runs is outdated. And just when you look at his in-game decision making, it was really questionable at times. For the non-Seattle fans out there, seeing the news that Seattle moved on from Pete was really surprising to a lot of people, but it wasn't for me, and I'm not even a Seahawks fan. Like, I watched a good amount of Seahawks games this year, and just looking at how this team has looked late in games, especially games that ended up resulting in one possession wins or losses, a lot of those losses have occurred because Pete Carroll mismanaged the game. You know, his use of timeouts has been really questionable. Some of the challenges have been kind of head-scratching. And Seattle has a really great roster. I thought coming into this season that Seattle was going to be good enough to compete for a Super Bowl. You look at how well they've drafted Charles Cross, Devon Witherspoon, Boye Mafe. There are so many studs on Seattle's roster. Kenneth Walker, JSN, DK Metcalf. The list goes on and on. And if they could just get a better head coach with a better quarterback, there's no reason why this franchise shouldn't find themselves in the thick of the Super Bowl conversation in the 2024 NFL season. They are a head coach and a great quarterback away from being able to win it all. But Pete Carroll obviously was holding this team back. And it's always tough to move on from a guy like Pete Carroll, because this dude is a legend. He is a Hall of Famer. He won a Super Bowl. Hell, he would have had 2 Super Bowls if he would have gave the ball to Marshawn Lynch on a 1-yard line. I would never get over that. I never will. I don't know about you Seahawks fans, but I would never get over Pete Carroll throwing the football on the 1-yard line when you got beast mode in the backfield And it gets picked off by Malcolm Butler. I would never get over that. I thought that Seattle should have fired his ass then. You know, this was a move that was way too long or took way too long to happen. But Pete Carroll is a legend. He's a GOAT. 14 years in Seattle, there were a lot of great memories. You know, especially the prime days of the Russell Wilson era when Russ actually used to legitimately cook. Now he's going to be taking the front office role, and I guess this was just to soften the blow, because it's hard to move on from a guy like Pete. So obviously you still want this dude around, high energy guy, players like him. He is always able to get the most out of players who nobody really gave a chance to. Obviously we remember the Geno Smith 2022 campaign when everybody wrote him off, but he didn't write back. He wrote back this year, obviously, but there were still some good moments where it was evident that Pete Carroll's motivational skills were able to elevate the play of certain players in big moments, especially Drew Lock. You remember when he led Seattle on a 10-play, 92-yard game-winning touchdown drive against the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday night? Like, that was peak Pete Carroll. And I never thought that Seattle would move on from him. Honestly, when you got somebody who has a 9-8 record their last two seasons, and those are winning records, it's hard to move on from somebody that has that kind of accolade to their resume. You know, it's not easy to always win in the NFL. Going 9-8 may not be a huge achievement to a lot of people, but for most NFL fans who haven't had a lot of success, they would be okay with having a head coach that goes 9-8 every season. It's the same situation that Mike Tomlin is kind of in right now in Pittsburgh. And there's some rumors circulating around that Mike Tomlin may step down after this season. I hope not. You know, but seeing Pete Carroll no longer on the sidelines for Seattle is going to be really weird. I became a football fan around the time the Seahawks first hired Pete Carroll. So I grew up with Pete Carroll. So I have a lot of childhood nostalgia tied to this dude. And not seeing him on the sideline, plus not seeing Nick Saban on the sideline for Alabama anymore. Like, this is going to be a weird-ass year of football, fam. Honestly, like, this thing is going to look so different, not just in the NFL, but in the football world in general. Because two of the longest tenured coaches for the respective organizations, Nick Saban with Bama, Pete Carroll with Seattle, are no longer going to be coaching for the respective organizations anymore. Like, it's going to be weird as hell not seeing Pete Carroll's energetic ass on the sideline, running up and down with the players pregame. You know, it's just going to be really weird not seeing Pete Carroll be the head coach of Seattle anymore. And he wasn't a bad coach. He just wasn't as good as what he once was when he first took over the reins at head coach when he left USC for the Seahawks. But there are a lot of great memories that I have of Pete Carroll with Seattle. And there are also a lot of bad ones that I have with Pete Carroll at Seattle. But I'm going to miss seeing Pete Carroll on the sidelines. Even if you were a Seahawks fan that was with Seattle moving on from Pete, even you got to feel a little bit of sadness in your chest about this move taking place, because we all love Pete Carroll. Rather, if we agree with a lot of the things he does or disagree, you know, this dude was a really likable guy. And this news still was a little bit shocking. It just was like the Nick Saban news coming out when he retired. I had the same reaction to that news that I had to this one. It's like, you just knew that this move was coming. You never saw the Nick Saban one coming. The Nick Saban retirement news just kind of like blindsided me. It's like somebody just gave me a knockout blow out of nowhere to the temple. But seeing Pete Carroll, you know, the Seahawks opt in to move in a different direction when it comes to their head coach, didn't surprise me as much, because it was one of those things that you knew was going to happen sooner rather than later. And it had to happen because Seattle, they just became stagnant under Pete Carroll. The last 3 years, this franchise has made no improvement. They have just been stuck in the same place, being a team that's really talented but has underachieved the last 5 years. This is a franchise that possibly could have won 2-3 more Super Bowls if they would have moved on from Pete Carroll and gotten a different head coach that was pretty good. So this was a move that had to happen. It's sad that it has happened, and it's unbelievable that it really has happened. And just watching the Seahawks game next season without seeing Pete Carroll on the sideline is going to hit different. It has been reported for the majority of this past season that Wink Martindale and Brian Daboll, they had some serious beef going on in the sideline. Brian Daboll has upset a lot of coaches on his coaching staff. Even his offensive coordinator, Mike Kafka, isn't really that happy with him. But he fired a lot of coaches a couple of days ago, and two of the most critical ones was the firing of defensive staffers Drew Wilkins and Kevin Wilkins, who defensive coordinator Wink Martindale was really close with. And apparently he wasn't happy with this. And a couple of hours ago, it got reported that he cussed out Brian Daboll. Now, I don't know what words came out of Wink Martindale's mouth when cussing out Brian Daboll, but it probably had to be, "You bald-headed mother. Oh, I hate your..." You know, I don't want to speculate what Wink Martindale called Brian Daboll, but we only could assume that it wasn't anything nice. It wasn't anything pleasant. And right after, it came out that he announced his resignation. Now, I would love to see Wink Martindale become the defensive coordinator of the Philadelphia Eagles, because Lord knows they need one. And Wink Martindale will be a perfect replacement. But are the New York Giants going to allow that to happen? I doubt it. So I'm really interested in seeing how this thing is going to transpire. Are they really going to allow Wink Martindale to walk away, especially when he still has $3 million on the table? Are they going to fire this dude? Because I would strongly doubt they would want to see this dude coaching against them on the other sideline for the Philadelphia Eagles, or hell, even the Dallas Cowboys, if they lose Dan Quinn and he becomes a head coach. So Brian Daboll getting cussed out by Wink Martindale is definitely not a huge shocker to me. You know, I was listening to an episode of John Middlecoff's podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he said that he talked to some people, and, you know, the tensions that Brian Daboll and Wink Martindale have were pretty legitimate. And with, you know, what just transpired, of course, you have to look back at those reports and look at them as truth serum now with everything that has happened. Brian Daboll, he is an emotional guy, highly charismatic, and he can get really upset during the games. There's been a couple of games I've watched this year, the Giants, where Brian Daboll, his face has looked as red as a stop sign at the end of the street. And when you are somebody who just cusses out your coaches, of course you're going to be quickly one of the most hated guys in the locker room. Maybe not amongst the players, but amongst the coaches. When your coaching staff doesn't rock with you, and the coaching staff loses a little bit of respect for you due to you cussing them out, it's not a good thing. And it shows that you don't have great people skills. And you got to have great people skills if you want to be a successful coach in the National Football League. And with Wink Martindale, one of the more well-respected defensive coordinators in the NFL, opting to resign and him cussing you out, that's probably going to hinder your ability to hire a successful one when the time comes. Who would want to coach for Brian Daboll when you look at how sour this relationship was between him and Wink Martindale? And also, your offensive coordinator, Mike Kafka, even is upset with you because you may be a little bit too involved in the offense. You know, if you're going to hire these coaches, let these coaches do their job and don't berate them. You never should berate one of your employees or somebody who works under you, because you create a toxic work environment. If you have a toxic environment amongst the coaches, imagine how that's going to translate to the product on the field. So it's no surprise that the Giants season, when it's left, is what it did this year. There were a lot of high expectations for the Giants coming into the 2023 NFL season, and they didn't come a lick close to living up to them. And I think Brian Daboll's inability to get along with his coaches is a big reason why, and I doubt that he's even going to last any longer as the Giants head coach. Of course, he's going to be back for another season, but I don't think the Giants are going to go anywhere. It's like, if you're cussing out your coaches and your coaches don't like you, how does that vote well in the eyes of the players? If you're disrespecting your coaches, how are your players going to be able to respect your coaches if you're disrespecting them right in front of the players? You know, it's just, Brian Daboll, man, he needs to go into the mirror and look at himself and reinvent some things, because it's not looking good for him right now in New York. I've never heard of an incident that publicly got released to everybody for all us to know that a coordinator on a head coach's staff cussed him out. Normally, it's the head coaching doing the cussing out, but Wink Martindale, He looks like a tough motherfucker. He looks like one of those dudes who always is going to push back against you when you come at him a little bit too left. And he doesn't seem like a guy that's too hard to get along with. Like, him and John Harbaugh got along perfectly. You never heard about him and John Harbaugh going at it. Now, I get that there are disagreements that probably occur here and there. But as grown men, you got to be able to talk it out, hug it out, and get the job done. Because at the end of the day, there are millions of dollars that you are getting paid to coach this game of football. And you got to be able to do that at a high level. But this is wild. Like, Wink Martindale cussed out Brian Daboll. Like, holy. Whew. The Jacksonville Jaguars easily were the NFL's most overhyped team and the most disappointing team from this past season. And they went from 8-3 to out of the playoffs in only the span of a couple of months. And with them losing to the Tennessee Titans, Doug Peterson decided it was time to go ahead and clean house. He got rid of a lot of coaches on the defensive side of the football, including his defensive coordinator, Mike Caldwell. He got rid of a couple of guys on the offensive side of the football as well. But the biggest problem I noticed with Jacksonville this year was the play calling wasn't that good. And who is the offensive coordinator? Press Taylor. Did he get fired? Absolutely not. He didn't get fired. And Doug Peterson actually came to his defense and defended Press Taylor's play calling and said that he did a pretty good job this season. I don't know if Doug Peterson sees the same thing that we saw this year, but Press Taylor didn't do a good job. As a matter of fact, he did an awful job. Anytime you have a quarterback like Trevor Lawrence have this kind of regression as he did this season, it's an indictment on your coaching staff. And it is a huge indictment on the dude calling the plays because he is solely responsible for making sure that Trevor Lawrence is being put in a position to succeed. With him to have this big of a regression, and what most people expected him to have an MVP season and play at a top five level, is really concerning. And if I'm not mistaken, Press Taylor was also on Doug Peterson's staff with the Philadelphia Eagles, and he didn't want to fire him then, and ultimately let him get in the boot out of Philly. And now he's repeating the same mistake twice. My mama always told me that, JT, one thing you should never do in life is repeat your same mistakes that got you put in bad situations. Doug Peterson, he obviously doesn't care because he still feels like Press Taylor is the right dude to be calling the plays for this offense and he's going to be able to get the most out of Trevor Lawrence. But I don't know, bro. This looks like a really bad decision. And there was a head coach who got fired by Doug Peterson who came out anonymously and said that, yeah, they got rid of the solutions and they kept the problem. Now, I don't think any of those guys were the solutions, especially the dude who was the defensive coordinator, Mike Caldwell. That defense was terrible. And I felt like Jacksonville should have moved on from Mike Caldwell at the end of last season. Despite the fact that they were able to make it to the playoffs, their defense was only good when it came to forcing takeaways. And forcing turnovers isn't a consistent way of being able to win football games on a week-to-week basis. Because turnovers are one of those things that you can't always control. Especially when you're going up against a quarterback that doesn't turn the football over at all. So I'm really confused at Doug Peterson's thought process with not thinking that Press Taylor is not the problem and he's part of the solution, because it doesn't look like it. And he's not the only person who is part of the problem who's still with this organization. Trent Baalke, the Jaguars general manager. He's been the GM of Jacksonville for a while, and his draft picks have not worked out. Like, outside of hitting on Trevor Lawrence to a certain extent, getting Travis Etienne, how many other draft picks by Trent Baalke have actually worked out? Kalavon Chasen is a bust. He's still with the team. Like, it makes no sense. Trayvon Walker is starting to come on, but he still isn't better than Aiden Hutchinson. And when you take somebody number one overall, you're expecting instant impact. You should be getting a generational pass rusher. You should be getting a Myles Garrett or a TJ Watt or a Michael Parsons. And I don't see it in Trayvon Walker. Jaguar fans tried to sell me on the idea of picking him when I was strongly against it, saying that he can do so many things, he has so much potential because of the upside. But if I'm looking at a pass rusher and I'm investing a number one pick in him, I'm not drafting somebody solely based on potential. I want to draft somebody based on how productive can they be year one for me? I never understood that the only position that potential really matters is quarterback. That's about it. Everywhere else, I could give a damn about potential. I choose production over everything. I want the dude who can come in and produce at a high level from day one. I don't want a dude who I have to wait 2, 3, maybe 4 years down the line to finally start producing at an elite level. I never really understood that thought processing from general managers who make these decisions, but maybe that's why I'm not a general manager right now. But Doug Peterson, it looks like he's repeating his same mistakes that got him the pink slip in Philadelphia and Jacksonville, and he's a pretty good coach. Hell, one of my friends thinks that he's better than Kyle Shanahan. As idiotic as it sounds, the dude does have a Super Bowl, and Jacksonville has had a winning record the last two seasons since he replaced Urban Meyer. But you're starting to realize that the Jaguars are in a really concerning place. This went from a team that had one of the brightest futures in the NFL to one of the most murkiest futures. When you look at the arrival of D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud in Houston, they're going to be here to stay. Shane Steichen looks to be a really good coach. And with the way Anthony Richardson was balling before he got injured, God knows how good he's going to be next season under Shane Steichen's system going into year two. And then the Tennessee Titans, I don't know about them. They fired Mike Vrabel. That move probably is going to bite them in the ass. But Doug Peterson, keeping Press Taylor, I don't understand the decision. If you're just going to clean house, just go ahead and clean house. It's like cleaning the bathroom, but you only clean the toilet and the sink, and you forget to clean the bathtub. You feel me? If you're going to do house cleaning, clean the whole house. Get a completely new coaching staff. Get a completely new offensive coordinator. I get when you mess with the offensive coordinator this young into a guy like Trevor Lawrence's career, it definitely can have a negative impact on him. But when you got somebody that has contributed to his regression, you're better off just clearing bait with him and bringing in somebody else. Prime example, Mike Tomlin's decision to not fire Matt Canada. He should have fired Matt Canada at the end of last season, but he was so worried about Kenny Pickett having to get a new OC that it costed him this season. And he was lucky enough that the Steelers were able to find a way to get into the playoffs thanks to Jacksonville losing to Tennessee. And I'm a Steelers fan. I'm very happy about it. Thank you very much. But even if you don't want to ruin your young quarterback's development, you still can ruin their development by keeping a bad offensive coordinator. And Press Taylor isn't a good play caller. Hell, I didn't even know that Press Taylor was calling the plays until the final weeks of this season. I thought that Doug Peterson was in charge of the play calling. Maybe he should take it back over. Maybe the offense will look better with Doug Peterson calling plays again versus Press Taylor. And I don't know why this dude has such a commitment to Press Taylor. I get they're best friends and whatnot, but this is one of those instances of, you know how the old saying used to go, you never should mix friends with business? This is why. Because when you mix friends with business, you have to have tough conversations that you may not be willing to have. And it costs you not just the opportunity to win games and underachieve, but it also costs you your job. And Doug Peterson is really willing to stick his neck out on the line that he's going to allow Press Taylor to allow him to get fired from his second head coaching job. And once you get fired twice, you're going to have a hard time getting a third opportunity to become a head coach again with the way that the National Football League is. But give your comments down below how you feel about Press Taylor remaining on Doug Peterson's staff in Jacksonville. Do you think that he's part of the problem or he's still part of the solution? I appreciate you guys for tuning in to this episode of the JT Sports Podcast. If you enjoy, leave a like, subscribe to the channel. Check out the JT Sports Podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts from. And I will see you guys shortly with another episode.